Thank you, Brother Green. All right, please be seated. Welcome, welcome, everybody. Great to be together this fine windy day. But we have the stability in Christ, don't we? Amen. Amen. Well, we're moving into a new year, aren't we? And our expectations can be twofold. Christ is going to come back this year, and if he doesn't, you and I can walk with the same power of God that we've had in 23, because we're filled with Christ in us. We have the gift of Holy Spirit. We have all that God has desired for man to have. And so we have great expectations, right, for 24? Amen. Amen. And as Al mentioned earlier, a theme we're working this year is fellowship is the secret. Fellowship is the secret. And I see this threefold. Fellowship with our Heavenly Father, fellowship with His Word, and then fellowship one with another, with the body of Christ, with the saints. So today, though, what I want to focus in are on is the precious Word of God. We're going to look at a particular book in the Bible, and we're going to spend all our time in this book. We won't cover all the scriptures, but I trust we'll hit enough of them that you'll be encouraged to read the ones we don't look at, okay? So, but before we go to this particular book, I want to remind ourselves about being workmen of the Word. 2 Timothy 2:15 is a scripture we, when it comes to working God's Word, is one that comes to mind, isn't it? We study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, that word study is to put forth a diligent effort. And when you talk about the Word of God and what this really, really is, why not put a diligent effort to this? People, millions of people are putting diligent efforts in all kinds of categories of life. You know, there's guys that just dedicate themselves to an oblong leather ball and throw it around and hit each other. They play football. They're dedicated to that. They put a diligent effort to it. I don't know what they get out of that. Now, some of them get some big money, but I don't know. As time goes on, they pay the price, I think. But for us who know God and know His Word, this is a very precious commodity. It's everything. And when it comes to working the Word, another scripture comes to mind, and that's 2 Timothy 3:16. All right? 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, or is God-breathed. It's that Greek word theopneustos. God-breathed, all scripture. I mean, that says a lot right there, doesn't it? That this Word of God is so tremendous. It's His Word and what He's saying. And it's profitable, right? There's benefits to the Word. And it's profitable along the lines of doctrine, reproof, correction, which really means instruction in righteousness. God wants to instruct us how to be righteous before Him. And He has made us righteous through Christ. Huh? So when we look at God's Word, it's going to have the flavor of doctrine, reproof, or correction. Okay? So I think we're ready to move on to this certain epistle that I want to share with you. And that's the epistle of Galatians. Okay? Galatians. And when I think of the book of Galatians, I think of a wake-up call. That's what the book of Galatians is all about. It's a wake-up call for the believers. So, and it has that flavor of reproof and correction. And I think we'll see that as we look through some of these great scriptures. So we're going to look at a number of things in God's Word. You're going to see all kinds of wonderful truths in this wonderful epistle to the Galatians. And I believe as we hit different verses and different things, every one of you will hear something that will touch your heart that will be very meaningful to you. And I kind of see this as a smorgasbord of working the Word of God, because we're going to see some great things. So, Galatians 1. So get your Bibles out, be they in paper form or electronic form, and let's see what we have. Okay. Right there in the beginning, it says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God, the Father, who raised him from the dead. Right then and there, this first verse kind of identifies how important this word is. Paul was an apostle, and it wasn't because some pope or some man, you know, threw some water on him and says, you are now an apostle by our dictates of our church and our denomination. No, it came from God Almighty. God Almighty. And I love it where he says, and God the Father, who, by the way, raised up Jesus Christ. And isn't that the crux of Christianity? That God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That he would give his life, pay the ultimate price, and God raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia. Paul had some folks with him wherever he was. Perhaps he was in Rome at this time when he was writing this. I'm not sure. But he sends his love to from all the brethren to the churches of Galatia. So there were a number of fellowships throughout Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to what? To the will of God and our Father. So God just, he took care of the sin situation. So if you have any sins in your life, don't worry about them, because who takes care of them? God Almighty, right? Through Jesus Christ. To whom, verse 5, be glory forever and ever. Amen. So these first 5 verses are kind of an opening. And quite an opening it is, isn't it? Now this next verse. And maybe you might not like this verse, because it says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. I marvel. Some of your translation says, I'm astonished. It's phenomenal that you have left the great gospel, the truth of God's word. So this is why I see this is probably a reproof correction book here. And what do you think the Galatians, you know, what did they do when they heard this word, I marvel that you're messing up here? They probably took a step back. Uh-oh, look out. Paul's, you know, uh-oh. But Paul's talking by revelation from God Almighty. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. You know, there's always somebody out there that wants to throw in different ideas, different interpretations of the truth of God's word. But though we are an angel from heaven. Now, this is a phenomenal verse here. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be what? Accursed, damned. Ooh, that's pretty heavy. And he, I love it. He says, not only some man does this, but even an angel from heaven would say such a thing. Pretty heavy. Man, what would you say after that? Boy, what an emphasis right here. What more could Paul say to really build this? Let's take a look at the next verse. As we said before, So say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. He repeats himself. Doggone it, I say it again. Boy, if that didn't wake him up. Do you see how vital this Word of God is? Paul is fighting for the Word to live in people's lives, and it's God working mightily in him. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after who? Man, not after man. For neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. How did Paul get this Word of God? Yeah, revelation from Jesus Christ. You know, it's the God-breathed Word. Pretty amazing. So Paul's not just getting upset and getting emotional by what he's saying here. God is directing him. He's getting revelation through Jesus Christ directly to write this Word of God. So, boy, I tell you, if I was one of those Galatians, I'd be, okay, I'm listening. For you have heard of my conversation in time past, in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. If you remember the background of Paul, he was a Pharisee, right? He was a young, up-and-coming Pharisee. And he had nothing but the top in his sights because he was going to be the number one Pharisee. And what did he do? He persecuted the church. He did. He saw people get killed, thrown in jail. He was going up to Damascus to throw some more people in the jail, wasn't he? Until halfway up there, he met somebody, Jesus Christ, by revelation. He had a great turning. So, you know, his background is such that he's been around the block, so to speak, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father. Wow! But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by what? His grace. Pretty neat. The grace of God is so full and rich. And Paul was called by his grace to do what? To reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. He didn't talk to his best friend and say, you know, something happened here on the road to Damascus. I wonder if I should really believe this. No. He was sold out to God Almighty. Well, the rest of this section here, the rest of chapter 1 and end of chapter 2, Paul talks about his background. And I think this is kind of interesting. We're not going to read it here. This is your homework, all right, for tonight.
Okay.
Is that all right? Yeah, most people are not excited to have homework, are they? Then you don't look that excited either. But bear with me here. You'll enjoy this homework. But Paul talks about his background, and I think that's important, right? You know, when we share the Word with people, we open our lives to them, don't we? And a lot of times it really helps to share your background, how you got into the Word, and what your life was about until you heard the Word of God and you got born again. So Paul does that in a big way. We're going to jump all the way. We're going to jump around here. Verse 19, chapter 2. Okay? For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. You're going to see some things here some great doctrinal truths that are being brought up again so that these folks in Galatia could receive the truth of God's word. I am crucified. The text is, I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Quite a verse here. You know, he shares his background, and then he just opens up this great truth, his spiritual reality that he has been crucified with Christ. He lives because it's Christ in him. I do not frustrate, verse 21, the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Yeah, it's not by the law. He's making that point. It's not by the law. Not at all. Now, this chapter 3, verse 1, again, Paul just doesn't mix his words, does he? Verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Again, how would you feel if some man of God kind of said this to you? Oh, foolish believers in San Diego, what are you doing here? Who's bewitched you? I mean, this is pretty serious, isn't it? And yet, it should be, because it's God's word. And the truth needs to live in people's hearts. And if they're being tricked, as the Galatians were, then they need to realize that they're being tricked. All right? Who's bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? For before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? Man, oh man. You're again of God's Spirit. You've got the nine manifestations. You've got the power of Christ in you. Now are you going to go back to the flesh? You know, he's really taking a stand here. And I think this really communicates. Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted for him for what? For righteousness. For righteousness. They could associate with Abraham. And Abraham wasn't under the law yet. The law wasn't around yet. And yet Abraham was made righteous because of his believing. Let's jump down here. Again, I got to leave some of this stuff for you to read later on. Verse 22, we're in chapter 3. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin. Is there anybody that on their own has risen above being right before God on their own? Sorry. All under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe, that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For you are all the children of God, by faith in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm sure the Galatians were happy to hear this, huh? They are all children of God, being reminded of this great truth. For as many of you that has been baptized in Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. And the word Greek here is Gentile. You're either a Jew or a Gentile, or as a born-again one, you're in the church of God. So what is he saying here? Neither Jew nor Greek, or Gentile, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. That gets everybody. No separating people because of whatever. And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Pretty neat, huh? All right. Well, boy, oh boy, there's so much wonderful things in here. Let's go to chapter 5. Chapter 5, stand fast. Therefore, as a result of what we've been looking at, as Paul says here by revelation, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of none effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Great reproof here. For in Jesus Christ, here's the correction. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor circumcision, but faith which works by love, the love of God. God so loved the world, huh? Wow. Jump down to verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Serve one another, yeah. See, that should be our heart. Lord, what can I do for you today? We are ones that serve. That's who we are as born-again ones, sons of God. We are to serve by the love of God. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Yeah, walk by the Spirit. Great encouragement. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest. And here it is, quite a list, huh? Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Yeah, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Some great truths in here. Some great things for us to have awareness to, huh? And I'd like to share this one verse to close out. It's in chapter 6, verse 10. And this is part of our fellowship one with another. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Man, our heart should be to love each other, take care of each other, be especially good to the believers that are in the household of faith. Well, I trust that you've seen something here in Galatians that's touched your heart, that maybe helps you walk by the Spirit a little bit more, a little better. And I trust that we will continue to believe God's Word and treasure the value of His Word. Spend time in the Word of God so that we can see these great, wonderful truths and be reminded of them. So my encouragement is that we have a great fellowship with God and with His Word, okay? So, Father, thank You for this wonderful Word of God that You've imparted to us, that we can learn from it. We can see Your heart, Your love, the grace of God. Man, oh man, we're thankful that You've called us to Your family, that we can truly call You Father and know that we are Your sons and daughters. So I pray for Your people here this morning, for everybody that's called in, that's listening to this sharing either now or in the future, that they can just grab their hearts and put it into Your hands, Father, and know that You, Your love, Your grace, Your wonderful Word will make the difference. Thank You, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Bless you, brother.